You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Yishko, Managing Director of Kit. Yish, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Chris, thanks so much for having us on board.
Yish, Kit, let's talk about Kit. What is it, how it began, and a little bit about it.
Sure. So Kit, it's a money app for kids that provides just-in-time, fun and bite-sized financial education and helps kids learn by doing. So whether that's parents giving their kids pocket money that might be linked to chores, helping them set and track savings goals in what we call stacks, or spending with a general purpose reloadable card that comes with customizable parental controls. And our character Kit is the fun like bouncing ball that just in time when things happen in the app prompts your kids to nudge them towards positive financial behavior.
Fantastic.
So the story.
You keep going. Sorry.
Sorry. I know you asked three questions in a row.
I wanted to go to the next one.
Where did it start? So the story starts in June, late last year. So before I was managing director of Kit, I headed up the portfolio team at X15 Ventures. So if you haven't heard of X15, it's the venture scaling arm of the Commonwealth Bank. And X15 builds, invests in early stage ventures. So in my role as head of portfolio, I was responsible for incubating new ventures. For example, Cheddar was one that I led. It's a Gen Z deals and offers platform, and also made investments and different as an example, which is a property management platform. They've just recently won one of the top 25 startups, I think, from LinkedIn, I just saw today, which is super exciting. So as part of that role, I pitch sort of new ideas to the investment committee. Usually with incubations, it's about building something and then hiring in the team and having a full-time team who's really dedicated to running that business as they go. So I pitched the idea. We saw a gap in the market for helping parents teach kids about their money, particularly in a cashless world. We know that parents play the most important role when it comes to the money behavior and the mindsets that their kids have. Yet when we did a study, 42% of the parents we gave the OECD financial literacy test to failed it. And there's also a huge taboo around money. And while school and financial education are really important, they focus a lot on financial literacy. But to kind of build sort of financially savvy kids, it's not just about what they learn at school. It's about how they learn by doing. And it's about how we support both kids and parents to do that. So that was really the story. I started off incubation in July. I thought it was really special because my career background, I started off life as a management consultant. So I worked for Bain & Company for 5 years, but then I spent a while in the not-profit sector. So Good Start Early Learning, so early learning centers when it was going from for-profit to for-purpose. And then disability services when the NDIS was about to be approved, so NDIS preparedness, and then a not-for-profit private health insurer before I came into X15. So I knew with this one there was a real opportunity to not just create a product that would really serve the needs of children and parents, but to do it in a way that takes financial capability really seriously. So we worked with EY, for example, to develop a financial capability framework that's informed how we build features to best make them resonate with kids and what they need to know, and that's informed some of the content that we've developed in the app. Very early days, we've got big ambitions in that space, but we wanted to do something that was really evidence-based and was measurable. So as part of, we're still in beta phase at the moment since our launch in May. We'll have an initial read on, well, what is the difference between a control group of people who are using Kit with their kids versus people that are not using any other solutions.
So much to unpack there in terms of, you know, I'm a father of three boys and they're in that age of talking about money now, sort of 9, 7, and 5, probably not the five-year-old per se. But when you talk about building, and you mentioned this a couple of times, then sort of parents and children, like it's, you know, there's obviously two distinct features for that, I suppose. I mean, do the children, are you building an app for the children to look at on their phone, or are you building an app for parents to monitor? And that sort of grayness in terms of who are you building it for, how have you overcome that?
That was one of the really fundamental questions that we asked ourselves when we first started building Kit, because on the one hand, you know that you need to create something for parents because they're the ones that are going to be signing up because their kids aren't young enough to sign up for a financial services product. But at the same time, you've also got these kids who are actually quite motivated in learning about money, but there's that tension of they want autonomy on the one hand, but parents want to have enough control to be able to give their kids kind of autonomy to make their own money decisions within limits. So the way that we've solved that, we actually decided when we looked outside, sort of overseas in the market, we saw that a lot of the existing products really went to solve the parent problem first. And if you look at Greenlight, you know, they've been in market for a long time and they've only recently come up with a login and a kids specific thing. But we actually sort of turned it on its head and said, you know, one of the things that when you're a child growing up, you always kind of, you want to be an adult and you want to have autonomy and you want to have ownership. So we wanted to empower kids, and we actually went deep on the kids view, which is why you'll see in the app that there's customization. So like colors and stickers, and like the tone of voice that Kit speaks is speaking to the child. And we think that that way we can really like engage kids in finances directly, particularly when we know that financial capability in parents is not necessarily always where they might want it to be around parents. So I think the answer is both. We've chosen to create a product that leans more heavily on kids but still gives parents that kind of customized, you know, like the spend limits we were just talking about, you were putting with your kids to give them enough reassurance that the product is safe.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, the user functionality and the I suppose the functions that you've been given in regards to the feedback and also the user experience. Kids want to do what adults do, and that's exactly what you mentioned. I'm just trying to sort of understand from a parent's point of view, because money or the idea of financial wellness is so subjective in regards to the difference from one parent to another. I've heard this on a number of other fintech podcasts where someone might be making a lot of money and feeling very, very stressed, and the other person's making a lot of money and feeling very, very happy. It's the same amount of money. It's just a different lifestyle and different ways of budgeting, et cetera. How do you overcome that, I suppose, and helping the parents educate their kids as well as educating themselves?
Yeah, I think that is a really important part of the equation. And it's interesting you talk about sort of mindsets, and being good at money is not just about, you know, the dollars that you have in your bank account. It's about your financial literacy, it's like your understanding of different financial concepts and ability to interact with financial products. It's the skills and the behaviors that you show. So, for example, you know, having enough money to cover everyday expenses, enough buffer so that if something goes wrong, the ability to plan for the future. But then also there's a mindset and attitudes piece, and all these things together kind of give you that financial well-being equation. I think for the parents, it's going to be a lot about you know, we're educating kids, but we're also educating parents at the same time in some respects. So, you know, explaining, we've got a little story in the app that if the kid doesn't set up a savings goal or in a stack, for example, after a while, there's a story that gets prompted to say, hey, would you like to know about why it's important to save? And so giving parents visibility at the same time of how that's happening is also educating parents at the same time. Because a lot of, you know, people, it's not anyone's fault. It's like, you know, I wish someone had taught me this when I was young. And they just, for a lot of people, never happens.
I agree. And, you know, it's sort of this sort of always learning moment in your life when it comes to money and potentially unexpected expenses, and even to the point where there's sort of a big open wide gap now for personal financial personal financial management tools in the market there for adults. When it comes to children, though, I've interviewed Spriggy in the past about pocket money. Is pocket money still a thing? Is it digitized? Is it still around? What are parents doing? Are there any trends that you're seeing?
Pocket money is still definitely a thing. So we did a survey earlier this couple of months back, and I think 7 out of 10 parents are giving pocket money, and 78% of kids of those kids need to do something to earn that pocket money, like chores. So what we've seen in the trends of pocket money are that, you know, there's a particular age when kids tend to start doing chores and getting pocket money. But what we're seeing is that there's a combination now with the rise of cashless of both starting pocket money, which tends to be around the age of 7 or 8, and then starting to get a debit card. Whereas a couple of years ago, you know, typically kids would only ever get a debit card when they were hitting high school. Now we're seeing that, well, the way the future, no one has cash anymore. You know, I'm a millennial parent. I am totally cashless. And so my son, when he gets to that age where he will need to go to primary school and pay for stuff, it is a massive inconvenience for me to have to go to the ATM and like withdraw something just so that he can go and buy something. So I hate to admit it, maybe this is an example of my poor parenting, but he already has a kid card and he goes to the cafe and says Baby Chino and pays with it for a card. So
the Baby Chino is always a winner.
He's going to start having a concept of that it's not unlimited amount of money on that card very soon. But I think that's the trend. It's that, you know, parents are starting to get used to the idea that younger and younger their kids are going to be getting pocket money in a cashless way and be spending it with a card. And so I think there's definitely, when we've interviewed parents, always a level of nervousness because you would say, you know, in the past few years, getting a debit card would be seen as, you know, a symbol of autonomy, which it definitely is, right, to go out and be able to tap and spend money. But for younger kids, you need to put guardrails and safety around it to make sure that they're doing it in a way which, you know, doesn't give them uncontrolled access to funds.
Yep. And those guardrails, obviously the parents are the ones that are driving that because they don't want to see their children do things that they potentially would not I suppose, be approval of. I mean, what sort of guardrails does kid have, I suppose, for the parents out there that want to potentially use the app?
Yeah, so there's some that are kit-wide. So, for example, we at the program level, we don't allow gambling, purchasing alcohol, bars and clubs, things that usually require you to be 18 plus. Then we've got daily spend limits that the parent can change in real time. We've also got the ability, if there is a particular spend and you'd like to block a merchant, you can go into the transaction listing and hit block merchant, and that also happens in real time. If the card gets lost, you can lock it and you can unlock it. The kid can also unlock their can also lock their card, but you'll need to, as the boss, unlock the card if they've locked it. So you know, that's in instances where, you know, they've lost the card, but and you just want to have that safety, make sure it's not being spent while you're still looking for it. And it comes up again, you can unlock it again. And the parents can also choose whether or not they see the card details and the BSB and account number in the app. So that's for the parent to see for online purchases, for example, if they want to see in the app what their card details are.
In reality, though, some of those features would you know, from an adult's point of view, be fantastic. I know that the ability of losing your card a few years ago would require multiple phone calls. Now, just a click of a button. I wonder whether all banks have actually got that, or whether Kit's actually ahead of the curve already on some of those features.
Oh, I can't speak for other banks, but I know Commonwealth Bank, who the parent of X15, definitely do have that in their app, ability to sort of lock and unlock your card at any time.
Nice one. Excellent. And one final question on Kit before we talk about yourself a little bit. Kit in its own right, how is it progressing? How are you happy with the expectations and the data that you're receiving from the beta testing and any anticipation of a wider launch date per se?
So we are incredibly excited about the way that the beta is going. So we launched an iOS app in May, and we're busy under the hood starting to build the Android, and we expect to kind of go into public launch once we finish the Android build. Our team are very agile, so everyone hates to kind of put a specific date on it, but it's coming soon. We've been using the beta period to really talk to customers a lot. So we're speaking multiple times a week. We've got lots of sort of sneak peek sessions and things where we get feedback on how things are working. So our beta customers have been really, really generous with their engagement. Got sort of a high level of confidence around what kind of next 6 to 12 month product roadmap needs to look like. And the feedback we've gotten from, we've been doing NPS surveys and Sean Ellis scores, it's all been extremely positive. So, yeah, it's just heads down building from here.
Watch this space. When you're not talking about Pocket Money kids apps and user experience for kids and parents, do you get a little bit of downtime? And what do you do outside of work to kind of switch off?
So there's a couple of things. So I was just mentioning, Chris, before that I have a young kid. So I don't know, hobbies
baby and Chino.
having a band, buying baby chinos is kind of my hobby at the moment, going to swim classes and going out to parks and fun like that.
It's just a
very good way to keep you grounded. but also my other passion is inclusion and diversity. So I am on the board of Tech Diversity Australia, and I'm also on a couple of inclusion diversity committees, like at X15 and in CBA more broadly, because I am conscious that when you get to a certain sort of level, and I'm an Asian Australian and I have the privilege of speaking English and having studied here perfectly, but I also have a cultural background, which is maybe quite different to other people that don't have my that don't share my cultural background, which presents itself in as sort of barriers in certain aspects to leadership. And so I've realized that I need to do my part and actually speak up and try and help other people to understand and have better self-awareness about sort of what those cultural barriers might be, unconscious biases, and how we can start to overcome some of that.
Yeah, no, excellent. From a parent point of view, and as you said, it's quite leveling and humbling to have a 2-year-old. What's sort of, I can't remember actually, my kids are 9, 7, and 5, but a 2-year-old, were you getting into TV shows, getting into Bluey or The Wiggles, or I can't actually recall.
Oh, yes. Cocomelon.
Cocomelon, that's right. I remember that one. Bluey, yep. Out of Brizzy. Yep. What's your favourite Bluey episode? Surely you'd know one off by heart.
Oh, I have to say the one that I think is a tearjerker for a lot of parents
Sleepy
is the
Time
Race one. No, Baby Race. It's the
Baby
one
Race,
where,
okay.
You have babies and, you'll kind of have that self-doubt about yourself and you're never really sure if you're doing the right thing. And there's another mum that says, don't worry about your kid walking. You're doing just fine.
Ah, that's right. I remember that one, of course. Yeah, yeah. And the takeaway is my favourite one, the old spring rolls where he's ordering the spring rolls and they need to go to the bathroom and things are happening all at once. And I saw the pool one the other day where Dad took them all to the pool and forgot the sunscreen, forgot the hat, forgot the floaties, forgot everything. And Mum to the rescue. Again, like parents and children alike, watching Bluey, maybe there's some sort of resemblance there with Kit in regards to the use of both parents and kids enjoying the content. But Yush, thanks so much for telling the Kit story and also your story about your background and the progression you've made to where you are now as MD of Kit and the excitement that you have for the future and as well as the industry as a whole in terms of wellness and financial education for kids. Congratulate you and really look forward to following the progress of Kit in the future.
Thanks so much, Chris.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.